Have you ever told someone you love that you weren't in love with them anymore? So often we tell God that we don't love him through the way we live our lives. But isn't it funny, when we tell the Lord that we don't want anything more to do with him, he never stops loving us? If you're someone who's been guilty of falling out of love with the Lord, let J Moss help you fall back in love with his single, Good and Bad.
So glad you love me. Never took your love away.
Just visit the Brothers in the Spirit online store and download your personal copy today. Brothers in the Spirit online store, where shopping is inspirational. Don't go through another day out of the will of God. Let this day be the day you fall back in love with God.
Coming up this week on Midweek Raise the Praise.
He said, within a year, I am going to turn your life completely around. I don't know. But I believe the worship service was getting you ready for this word. I believe the praise service was getting you ready for this word. You had to be built up to receive this word, because I am not talking about your regular garden variety blessing. I'm not talking about the stuff you're trying to get accomplished and you just need God to just blow on it so you can get it done. I'm talking about the stuff that's so impossible and so ridiculous and so out of character that even you yourself better please. But God said, before it's over, I'm going to make you laugh out loud. I'm going to do the thing that you could not do yourself. None of your contacts, none of your friends, none of your family was able to do. But just when you decided it couldn't be done, God said, I am going to make you LOL. You're going to laugh out loud. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready to laugh.
You're listening to Midweek Praise on BNDS Jams, where it's always about Jesus.
You are God the living King. You are Christ the risen Lord. You're praised by the redeemed. You are worshipped and adored. You're the great eternal wonder. You're the precious holy lamb. You are the great I am. You are God the living King. You are Christ the risen Lord. You're praised by the redeemed. You are worshipped and adored. You're the great eternal wonder. You're the precious holy lamb. You are the great I am. Everybody say, you are God the living King. You are Christ the risen Lord. You are praised by the redeemed. You are worshipped and adored. You're the great eternal wonder. You're the precious holy lamb. You are the great I am. Oh Lord, you are the great I am. Who are you? Are the great I am.
Oh,
have you ever told someone you love that you weren't in love with them anymore? So often we tell God that we don't love him through the way we live our lives. But isn't it funny, when we tell the Lord that we don't want anything more to do with him, he never stops loving us? If you're someone who's been guilty of falling out of love with the Lord, let J. Moss help you fall back in love with his singles, Good and Bad.
So glad you love me. Never took your love away.
Just visit the Brothers in the Spirit online store and download your personal copy today. Brothers in the Spirit online store, where shopping is inspirational. Don't go through another day out of the will of God. Let this day be the day you fall back in love with God.
Dealing with challenges at home, in our workplaces, our community, and sometimes even in our personal relationships with the Lord. When those challenging times come, it's always good to get an inspiring word from the Lord. Let Midweek Raise the Praise inspire and uplift your soul.
It's my natural habitat to be blessed. I was created by a blessed God, put on a blessed planet. I'm a blessed man. What else am I going to be? I got to be blessed.
On his shoulders and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. And he bore the weight of the government upon his shoulders, for surely he hath borne our griefs.
The more the anointing, the heavier the trials, the greater the anointing. And I got a feeling right through here, God's getting ready to up my anointing. Shake somebody's hand. Say, I'm going through.
Stop by every Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. for Midweek Raise the Praise on BNDS Jams, which is always a praise jam experience for the Lord. You're listening to Midweek Praise on BNDS Jams, which is always about Jesus.
I want to invite your attention to the book of Genesis, chapter number 17. It's our custom to stand for the reading of the Word of God. If you would honor that, I'd be most appreciative. And then after that, we won't bother you anymore. The 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. If you will follow me through the first four verses, and then we will drop down to verse 15 through 17. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face
Ann Holland. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I want to look at the 17th verse. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. For the next few moments, I would like to talk to you from the subject LOL. Interpretation being laugh out loud. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to feed the flock of God. I thank you for your relevance. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your might. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for this sovereign moment. Speak prophetically in the lives of your people. Let it be revelatory and life-changing and thirst-quenching and mind-renewing. Build us up as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am often criticized by those who operate consistently in the gifts of the Spirit. They say that I don't believe in the gifts, and it's really not true. Of course I believe in the gifts. I carry the gifts inside of me. I move and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't be here if it were not for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I would have been blown up in my own house if it were not for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I absolutely, emphatically believe that we have a sovereign, divine God that intervenes in human affairs, other than through the scriptures, that he absolutely can intervene. It makes no sense to pray and ask God to intervene and then not believe that God is able to intervene in human affairs. My problem is I take issue with people who would portray our God as the kind of God who is always talking to them. They almost suggest that God is like, have you ever met those people that just talk and talk and talk? I have found that most people who talk a lot don't have much power. Because when your words have power, you really don't have to use as many of them. I grew up in a house where they didn't negotiate with the children. My parents operated like we were terrorists. There was no negotiation possible. If mama said, sit down, it wasn't, you've been standing up too long and you're embarrassing me and it's inappropriate for you to be up, and so I want you to understand that someone of your age should not be up moving all over the place, and if you don't mind, I want you to sit down, because if you don't sit down, I may have to place you in, what do they call that? Time out. My mother had time in. She would punch a clock and put on a hard hat and a pair of metatarsals and just excavate you if you didn't sit down immediately. my father could get the truth out of me if nobody else could. Boy, did you do that? I don't know why truth would just spill out of my mouth. I would try to catch my tongue before it got out of my mouth. I'd say, don't tell him, but it would just be too late. It would just tell him. Their words had power. People tried to make me think that God talks to them about foolish things. I didn't buy the red dress because the Spirit told me to buy the blue one. And because I'm a critical thinker, I have trouble believing when I look at the scriptures that the God who runs the universe is concerned about whether you have a blue or a red dress. Maybe my faith hadn't grown to that level yet, but there are certain things that I believe that are open to us. God doesn't care whether you have the blue dress or the red dress or the greenhouse or the brick house. It doesn't make any difference to him. He clothed the lilies. Your hairs are numbered. He provided sun. When you wanted light, he provided sun. It doesn't mean that I can't have electric lights, but when God wanted there to be light, he put the sun up. When he wanted it to be dark, he called it down. He runs the universe and then gives me dominion. Dominion means I have some authority here. And so I don't have to come to him and ask him, would it be all right if I tied my shoes? And he would have to stop running the universe and say, Thomas, tie your shoes up. But his words have power. I've learned in positions of authority, you have to be careful what you say because your words have power. It's one thing for one staff member to say to another, I'm sick of you. It's another thing for the CEO to say, I'm sick of you. It has different power. It's one thing for a fellow sibling to get into a scuffle with another sibling. It's another thing for a parent to get into the process. When you speak as a parent, your words should have power. There are certain things we didn't say to my mother. There are certain things we just did not say out of respect to my father. We might have said it when we got back in the room with the door locked, hiding in the closet with a pillow over your face. I laid Mama out. She just never heard it. I made sure she didn't hear it. Because I might be an endangered species. We have a God who stepped out on nothing and said, let there be something, and it became whatever he said. His words have power. Let there be light, and immediately there was light. And his word is so powerful that it is still sustaining the sun. The Bible says, Hebrews 1:3, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. That when God says, let there be, not only does he create it, but he sustains what he has created, and it has never deviated from what he said. While the earth remaineth, there will always be day and night, springtime and harvest. God said, when I speak it, I speak longevity to it. I am God, and beside me there is no other. He said, I look for another God. He said, there's never been another God before me. I looked in the future, there's none coming after me. I looked beside me, and there was no God. I alone am God. I was God before there was anybody there to tell me I was God. I was God before there was anybody there to praise me as God. I was God before there was anybody to clap their hands or wave their hands in the air. I was God. I am God all by myself. No board elected me. Nobody appointed me. Nobody hired me. Nobody interviewed me. Nobody can have known me. I am God, and besides me there is no other. It is this God that Abraham is telling us about, who has not spoken with Abraham, the patriarch of faith, for 14 years. At least 13. 13 years of total silence from the end of the 16th chapter to the beginning of the 17th chapter. There's 13 years where we know God has said nothing to Abraham. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the times when God says nothing. There are long extended periods of time where God says nothing. What does it mean when you're a child of God and God says nothing at all? I think in the absence of a word from God, people often start making up words from God. One of the things they teach you about interviews, when you do professional interviews, one of the techniques of interviewers to make you talk more is to get silent. Because we have a propensity when the conversation gets silent to have to fill in the silence, and it's a way of making you talk more. And the first thing they train you in public relations is that when the interviewer has asked the question and you have answered the question, be comfortable in the silence, lest you overtalk the question. But it's hard to be comfortable in the silence, because sometimes God says nothing at all. I have great faith in everything, but I still use a GPS system, you know, to get me to places that I don't know where I'm going, which is almost everywhere. And it's so embarrassing when I'm talking on the phone while I'm driving to let people hear this woman in the car with me saying, go down 3 blocks and turn right. I try to cut her down because I don't want them to know that I still need navigation. I've been here 15 years. I still need navigation. I get lost. I've been preaching 35 years. I still need navigation. I've been living 53 years. I still need navigation. I know it sounds bad, but sometimes I don't know how to get where I'm trying to go. And the GPS system helps me in the process. And I'll be driving, and she'll say, you are now on the highway. And I'm driving down the road, and there's a long silence, and I get nervous because I'm not sure of myself, and I say, well, say something. I'll try to trick her into reaffirming, because silence makes you uncomfortable. God is your God even when he is silent. I had to learn that the reason that the navigational system has waxed silent is because I am still to walk in the last commandment. That there is no need to continue the conversation until I have completed the last command. When God says to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect, You see Abraham walking out in front of God. I don't like to walk in front of God. I want God to walk in front of me. Because I need him to write a book, Life for Dummies. Get in front of me and make the path straight and let me follow you. He said, no. He said, I want you to walk before me. And I'm behind you. I said, if you were in front of me, I would be sure of myself. He said, if I'm behind you, I got your back. Until it's time to make a turn, you walk in the last command. So God speaks to Abram at pivotal moments in his life. God speaks. If he hasn't spoken, you're still walking in what he told you to do. You don't need another update. Keep going forward. That's somebody's answer right there. I can go sit down right now. He's not talking to me like he used to. He doesn't need to. Keep doing what he told you until he tells you something else. Until he tells you different, Abraham, take your son up to the mountain and offer him up. And when you're about to get off the path, he will intervene. Stay thy hand, Abraham. You've gone as far as you need to go with that. Behold, there's a ram in the thicket. You didn't tell me about it in advance. If I told you about it in advance, you wouldn't need any faith. I wanted you to walk in what I told you before. When it's time to make a turn, I'm going to tell you, be still and know that I am God, and besides me, there is. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm talking to you about this morning. Now God appears to Abraham. Abraham is just sitting out under a tree in the heat of the day, trying to cool himself, and God appears to him, not at night, in the day, in the middle of the day. God appears to him and speaks to him, and when Abraham recognizes that he's standing in the presence of God, he prostrates himself on the floor, he bows before God, and God appears and said, I am the Almighty God. I am the Almighty God. I can do what I'm about to tell you. I am the Almighty God. There is nothing beyond my authority that I cannot accomplish. I sit on the circle of the earth. I have all power in my hand. And I have spoken to you because I'm about to bless you. Now watch this. He says to Abraham, Abraham gets on his face before God, and God begins to speak to him. And God begins to tell him how he's going to bless him. And God begins to tell him how he's going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham is caught up in the worship experience. And God begins to speak to him and reaffirm to him that through his seed, nations of the earth would be blessed and the promises of God would happen. And Abraham is worshiping and it is just fine until God brings up Sarah. When he brings up Sarah, it changes the tenor of the whole conversation. And I want you to understand why. It was believable to Abraham that his seed would possess the earth. It was believable to him that he would be the father of many nations. It was believable to him that they would possess the land. It was not believable to him that it would happen through Sarah. You see, Abraham and Sarah had devised a plan with which they were comfortable that the blessing was going to come through. They had decided after years of trying to have children that she was in fact barren, that it could not happen through her. And in lieu of it coming through her, they had decided that if somebody in their house, if a servant in their house was born, then legally he was an heir. So they had servants born in the house who were a possibility. As a backup plan, they had taken this one servant named Hagar. And Abraham had impregnated her and produced a son, Ishmael, and it had solved the whole problem. Ishmael was birthed, he was born, he was 13 years old, and they said, it's going to happen through him. And then here comes God. Have you ever had everything put to bed in your mind? You have decided, okay, I'm not going to get what I expected to get. You have made peace with the fact that this is an area in your life that doesn't work, that maybe it's not meant for you. Maybe it's meant for other people to walk in this area. Maybe it's not meant for me. Do you know how hard it is to get hope to die? To believe and want and wish and pray and wait and look and see absolutely nothing and then finally come to the point that you finally arrest your hope and bring your dreams into acquisition and say, okay, it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm not going to get married. Maybe I don't even care. I don't even want no, it don't matter anyway. Maybe I'm not supposed to have a house. It doesn't matter anyway. Maybe it wasn't for me to be a pastor. Maybe it wasn't for, I don't care. It's all right. I'm going to teach the Sunday school class. I'm good. And you finally put to bed that this is not going to happen the way I wanted it to happen. And you're okay with it. It's one thing to put it to bed. It's another thing to finally get where you're okay with it. And then here comes God. People try to make you think that whenever God shows up, it's a wonderful experience. But it is not always a wonderful experience. The appearance of God disrupts the activity of life. I got this, God. I got it handled. Everything is under control. I've got Sarah calmed down. I got Hagar calmed down. The kid is playing in the yard. Everything's going to be all right. We covered for you, you know, because you said you was going to bless us. We got that worked out. So if you don't look bad, it's cool. Leave us alone. Have you put to bed something that God wants to wake up? Have you finally come to the point that something is not going to happen, and you've made peace with it now. And then at this season in your life, here comes God. Lord, if you were going to do this, why did you do this 13 years ago? Why did you do it when I was younger? Why did you do it when I had the money to do this? Why did you do it when I had the drive to do it? God said, no. Because if you could see your way clear, you would get it and praise yourself. I had to wait till every hope you had of doing it in your own strength was completely dead. So that if I give it to you now, it will know that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I waited. I waited. And here comes God. And God appears unto Abram. And Abram is good with it. Okay, I'm going to be blessed. My seed's going to be blessed. It's either going to be Eliezer or it's going to be Ishmael. I got that. It's fine. And then God not only talked to him about what he thought, but then God kicked it into the exceeding range. The exceeding range is when you have a thought of how your life is going to go and you're happy about it, and then God exceeds it. You do understand that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that ye may ask or think. You thought your way clear. You had a plan. You had a strategy. You had it in place. You thought it was a good idea. You thought it was going to work. He said, no. I'm going to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that ye may ask or think. And when he told him that Sarah, who was 90 years old, had already gone through the sweats and the shakes and the mood swings, I'm not saying nothing about y'all, you know, but she had already turned the air conditioner on in the middle of the winter and all of that kind of stuff that leave men scratching their heads about what in the world is wrong with you. When God told Abram that he was going to do it through Sarai, the Bible says he bowed himself and laughed. Now, normally, if I were going to preach laugh out loud, I would have used Sarah, because you will remember that when Sarah heard the word of the Lord, she was standing behind the door. I'm not saying she was nosy or nothing. I'm not saying that she was one of them sisters who need to know everything you're talking about. Maybe she was sweeping behind the door. I don't know, but the Bible says she was behind the door. And when she heard that, she laughed within herself. Now, I've preached about that before. Laughing inside. Laughing in the very spot that she would be pregnant. I saw her conflict. Laughing was a state of unbelief. Unbelief expressed in the same place, same womb that would later be pregnant. But as is the case with most preaching, which is primarily has been done historically by men, we have a tendency to blame the women for everything. And I had always blamed Sarah for laughing and never noticed. I don't know how I would look that day. That Abram laughed before she did. And I thought, well, maybe he laughed out loud, but no, he didn't. He bowed himself over and laughed. And I read both texts, because twice in the text it mentions when God appeared unto Abraham, the Bible said that Abraham bowed himself before God. And then when he told him about Sarah, he bowed again. Because I wanted you to understand that this bowing is not where he became hysterical with laughter. He bowed himself over in respect, in worship before God, and smirked inside of himself at what God has said. How can you worship a God and doubt him at the same time? Look at the conflicted moment. He is about prostrate in the presence of God, worshiping and thinking, please. You wonder sometimes why our worship services are not as rich as they were this morning, why they're not like that all the time. Because the truth of the matter is most of the time we worship with conflict. We are doing physically what we are supposed to do, but emotionally we can be somewhere else. We are going through the motions. We are doing the right motions, but thinking something, I guess it's just me. I hate to admit this. You know, there are some people in the world, I'm not saying none of them are here, who can worship God and really be thinking about something else. Yeah. And that's why people who judge by externals miss the point. Because they think that people who jump the highest and run the furthest and leap the longest have the most faith. But sometimes you're fighting, trying to believe something that God has said that is so far above human reasoning that you're not jumping up and down because you got it. You're jumping up and down trying to get it because... Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? He bows himself over before God, and out of this intimate worship experience comes a conversation that has progressively brought him to a place of challenge. God starts out talking on a level that he can believe and graduates into an area of unbelief. And when God brings up that sensitive thing, you know, we all have a sensitive thing. We can believe God for your thing. We can believe God for her thing. We can believe God for his thing. But we all have that certain thing that we just say to the Lord, okay, look now. Okay, don't go there. God went there and told him, you are going to have a child through Sarah. And he said, nah, you know, that's crazy. See, this is a wrong spirit talking to me now. Because Abram is looking at the evidence, the situation. He said, she's 90. I'm 99. He even calculated how old he would be by the time he had the baby. And said, by the time she had a baby, I'm going to be 100. She's going to be 91. How do you go to the high school graduation at 117? This is ridiculous. How can I get up from this worship experience and tell anybody what you told me without looking crazy? See, sometimes God says stuff that you can't repeat, because if you told anybody what God spoke in your spirit, they would LOL. And you get angry at them laughing at your dream, but truth be told, you kind of snickered yourself. God, come on down, Lord. You know, my credit is whacked, and you told me you're going to bless me with what? Lord, I can't even remember my hotel room number. Do you want me to go back to school? Come on, you should have brought that up 20 years ago. Too late now. But until God has said something that makes your flesh snicker, and you say, come on, then your faith has never been stirred. Because your faith begins at the point of human extremity. Faith is not what you use when you can see your way clear. When you can envision that it is still possible, you don't need faith. In fact, you are trying to use faith on stuff that you need to just get up and do. One person told me, he said, I believe in God for a house. I said, you don't have to believe God for a house. Get your credit straight, get your down payment, go down to the bank, get your house. There are people who get houses, don't even know who God is. You don't have to, oh, y'all don't want to talk to me about this. You don't need a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit to buy a house. I mean, when you buy it, you thank the Lord that he blessed you with it. But God didn't have to interrupt his godliness and come down and talk to the bank and say, look, give her a deal. That's my girl. That's my girl. That's my home girl. Go ahead. Bless her. No, if you just do what you're supposed to do, you can get what you want to have. There's some things that are beyond you. And you say, when I look at this situation, it is too late. It is too difficult. She is too barren. It is impossible. And besides, I don't want to stir my hope again. Because hope hurts. Where are my people who have lived long enough to understand what I just said? It hurts to keep believing something that doesn't happen. And if you're not careful, just because you can't stand any more pain of waiting, you will give up on your dream and make a deal with your hope to keep it from standing up in front of you every day and say, look, another gray hair, and it still hadn't happened. Look at that. Look at that. Another bill that still hadn't. Look at this. Another thing that it still hadn't happened. After a while, you say, look, it doesn't matter. I don't want it anyway. And you got everything nice and neat and calm, and here comes God and says, I'm going to do it. The kind of stuff you would have shouted about at the right time. But now you say, don't bother me. Just don't bother me. I'm good. Leave me alone. God is not going to leave you alone. Whoever I'm preaching to today, the Lord says, I will not leave you alone. I have not come to make you shout. I have come to make you stretch. I'm going to stretch you outside the realm of what you can conceive with your mind or see with your eye. I'm going to take you into a realm. I'm going to get you in a position where nobody can get you out but me. I'm going to back you up in a corner until if I don't get you out, you will never be able to get out. I meant for the people to let you down. I meant for them not to come through for you. I meant for them to reject you. I meant for you to get your feelings hurt. I meant for you to get disappointed. I never intended for you to worship them. I never intended for you to believe in them. I had to show you that them being with you wouldn't help you, and them being against you wouldn't help you. I had to show you that if I be for you, I'm more than the world against you. I'm going to back you into a corner where it's going to be nobody but me and you, and then I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to show you how strong I am and what I'm able to do. Who am I talking to in here? I didn't come sooner, because sooner would have been easier. I didn't do it when you thought I was going to do it, because had I done it then, you would have bragged about yourself. You would have told me how strong your womb was and how strong your body was and how virile your husband was. But I waited till you lost confidence in yourself and your husband and your kids and everybody else. And then I showed up and said, fix is a job for God. And I am going to change the nature of your laughter. It's hard to explain to people that in different cultures, the same word can mean different things. Take the church, for example. You can say, praise the Lord, and really mean praise the Lord. And you say, praise the Lord, which really doesn't mean praise the Lord. It just means, what in the world's going on? You can say, while the preacher is preaching, in the black church especially, you can say, bless him, Lord, and that means he's really preaching. Or you say, bless him, Lord, which means you are really going down for the last time. There is a help him, Jesus, that means you're preaching good. But there is a help him, Lord, that means you're not. It's the same word. Women be talking, they use the same word, mean different thing. Girl! A girl? God said, when you laugh the first time, it was the painful snicker of a wounded soul who was afraid to believe. He said, but before I finish with you, I am going to give you, now it's been a long time maybe since you had this kind of laugh. There is a laughter that is medicine to the body. When the Bible talks about laughter being like medicine, it ain't that. No, it's that belly wrenching. When, you know that kind of laugh where tears are coming in your eyes and you've gotten unseemly and you've messed up your makeup, you don't want nobody to know, and you just bent over double. Good too. That's therapeutic too. That brings high blood pressure down. That changes your whole disposition. It releases endorphins and all kinds of stuff. It's good for you to have that kind of laugh. You will never have that kind of laugh until God does something so crazy and so impossible that you ha ha ha. No, you didn't. Ha! You can't fake that kind of laugh. That kind of laugh gets way down on the inside. It does good like medicine. It renews your spirit. It builds you up. Laughter is a wonderful thing. And Sarah didn't get that standing behind the door. Abraham didn't get it bowed over because that laugh was a snickering laugh. She's behind the door snickering. He's bowed over in worship, trying to worship and going, can you please? God said, by this time next year, this time next year, this time next year, he says, within the year, thank you. Sheesh. He said, within a year, I am going to turn your life completely around. I don't know. But I believe the worship service was getting you ready for this word. I believe the praise service was getting you ready for this word. You had to be built up to receive this word, because I am not talking about your regular garden variety blessing. I'm not talking about the stuff you're trying to get accomplished and you just need God to just blow on it so you can get it done. I'm talking about the stuff that's so impossible and so ridiculous and so out of character that even you yourself said, please. But God said, before it's over, I'm going to make you laugh out loud. I'm going to do the thing that you could not do yourself. None of your contacts, none of your friends, none of your family were able to do. But just when you decided it couldn't be done, God said, I am going to make you LOL. You're going to laugh out loud. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready to laugh. Get ready to laugh. Get ready to celebrate. Get ready to dance in your house and skip around your living room. Get ready to start driving up and down your driveway saying, ha, 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 ha. Hey, hey, hey. No, no, you did. Ha, ha, ha. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. God is about to do something so awesome, so incredible, so beyond everything you have imagined. Think back over the words you've been getting for the last few weeks about getting outside of the box, about not being satisfied to just survive. God has been building you up, because he's about to do something in your life.
Yes.
Your faith is having a revival. Your mind is getting built up. Your spirit is getting ready. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I came to tell you, you're pregnant and you don't even know it. You're pregnant and you don't even know it. When a woman's body is pregnant, the baby starts pulling all kind of vitamins and nutrients and all kind of stuff. That's why God's been giving you word like this. He's been giving you word like you never heard before, stirring you up. You're hearing it like you never heard it before, because something in your belly is about to... Your neighbor and say, you have cried long enough. Dry your tears. You're about to laugh. 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 Out loud. Somebody open your mouth. Somebody open your mouth to God. Somebody open your mouth and celebrate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What makes you laugh out loud is the contrast. All the other women who had babies that year didn't laugh out loud, because they could see how they could have a baby. But sometimes when your situation has imprisoned you, somebody else's normal is your miracle. Oh, they don't understand what I'm talking about. That's why you can't act like the other people act, because you didn't go through what the other people went through. Their normal is your miracle, but God is going to do it for you. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I'm almost finished. Because this is not the kind of message that's for everybody. This is the kind of message that's for somebody. That hard place, that impossible thing, that ridiculous thing, that thing that's hard for you. Other people got it, but you can't get it yourself. God said, now that you've decided maybe I'm not supposed to have it, God said, now I'm going to do it in your life. I dare you to praise him. I dare you. And I want you to do this. I want you to tell the devil, you should have killed me when you had the chance, when I was crying and upset and depressed. You thought you had me. You might have laughed at me, but I'm going to have the last laugh. Almost where I want to be, but I want to talk to somebody who feels like life has been laughing in your face. The Lord woke me up this morning and sent me out here to tell you, don't worry about who laughs first. Always watch. Always watch who laughs last. God said, you're going to have the last laugh. Now, Sarah is pregnant. And when you're pregnant out of season, they don't have anything for you. You know, because they didn't design no maternity clothes for old ladies. Her breasts are sagging. Her knees are wrinkled. And here she comes. And this doesn't go with none of this other stuff. God said, I'm going to give you a blessing that does not match your situation, does not fit into your circumstance. You're not going to be able to go and get something to fit it, because nobody ever expected a person like you to end up with a blessing like that. But God said, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's how he wants you to praise it. That's how he wants you to praise it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. An exceeding abundance above all ye may ask. Would you do me a favor? Touch three people and say, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. What God is getting ready to do is ridiculous. What God is getting ready to do is ridiculous. What God is getting ready to stir up is ridiculous. What God is getting ready to move is ridiculous. Hadn't he been pushing on you? Hadn't he been building you up? Hadn't he been whispering in your ear? Get ready. It's a ridiculous blessing. So, oh. All the other women that went into labor, into the maternity ward, were screaming. Don't you say nothing. Because you screamed with the epidural. They didn't have... Ow! Sarah is the only pregnant woman recorded who gave birth going, her labor was in her laughter. Her labor was in her laughter. If your labor is in your laughter, and I was the enemy, I would try to keep you from laughter to stop you from labor. I would try to block up your joy, because I would know that with joy, you draw waters from the wells of your salvation. And if I wanted to cut off your water, I would try to cut off your joy, because joy is what you draw with. I'm gonna say it again. With joy, we draw waters from the wells of salvation. So if I can take away your joy, you would be in the predicament that happened with the woman at Samaria. Said, how can you say you came down here to draw water and you have nothing to draw with? Joy is what you draw with. Joy is how the baby comes. Your baby is going to come in your laughter. And so the enemy keeps showing you reasons not to laugh. Because when you laugh, you give birth to the thing that has been locked up down inside of you. And without that joy, you have nothing to draw with. And what you have to do is learn how to stand up in the face of all kind of trouble and all kind of pain and all kind of turmoil and all kind of doubt and all kind of fear, and look it all in the face and go, ha, 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 ha! Thought you had me, didn't you? Hey! Thought I was going to lose my mind, didn't you? Hey! Because if the enemy had had his way, you would never laugh again. You would never have any joy or any peace or any power. But God said, laughter is going to make your water break. Laughter. Oh, shut up, oh. Laughter is going to send you into delivery. Laughter is going to take that thing that was afar off and make it come nigh unto you. It is coming with your joy. So you need unspeakable joy. You need peace that passes all understanding. You need the kind of happiness that makes no sense at all. You need to stand right in the face of all the facts and laugh at all the facts, because you know the truth. There is a difference between the facts and the truth. The facts were, she was too old to have a baby. The facts were, Abraham was impotent. The facts were, it ceased to be with her after the manner of women. The truth was, she was going to have a baby in a year. Are you going to believe the facts, or are you going to believe the truth? You cannot build your faith on the facts. You have to build your faith on the truth. The truth will stand in total opposition to the facts. Who am I preaching to? Let me stop. Let me... The reason you've been barren this long anyway is that you had more confidence in the facts than you did the truth. The truth is what God said. The facts are what the enemy brings up to make you not believe what God has said. I'm going to close, because we had a lot of church already. I'm going to close. But here is the fight, sir. The weapons that God has given us are not given to us to fight each other. I don't even need the weapons to fight the enemy. Because the enemy is already defeated. Watch this. Remember how the angels fought the enemy in the book of Jude? They said, we dare not bring a railing accusation against you, choosing to say rather, the Lord rebuke thee. So I'm not worried about the devil. The Lord's already got dead. The reason I need weapons, let me see. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and brings every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. I need weapons to fight the stuff in my head that's making me doubt what God is going to do. Oh, God. So whoever I'm preaching to, turn your weapons on yourself. Turn your weapons on the voice in your head that says you're too old, or it's too late, or nobody could ever love you, or you could never get there. Use the weapons of our warfare to fight every voice that's making you think that God doesn't have a plan for your life. Take the word of God and stab yourself in the head until your thoughts become like his thoughts and your ways become. Somebody give God a praise right now. Now watch this. She births him laughing that something like this could happen to a woman like her at this time in her life was so ridiculous that she laughed her way through the labor and birthed a child who she named Isaac, which means laughter. She said, the Lord hath made me to laugh. Join hands with somebody. I'm going to close. Could it be possible? Hallelujah. That you could have a late laugh. A laugh that comes after a series of disappointments. A galling laugh. A tsunami laugh. A laugh that is so overwhelming that everything that's in you begins to be birthed out of you. Laugh. That's your assignment this week. You got one assignment this week. Laugh. Not that little snicker. Not that doubting laugh. Not that I'm trying to believe this, but this is ridiculous laugh. God said, I want you to laugh out loud. I want you to laugh as if you already got. Laugh like you already healed. Like there's just nothing, no affliction in your body at all. Just laugh. Laugh like it's already done. Laugh like you're in total health. Laugh like Satan's power is broken over your life. Laugh. My God, I feel glory in this place. Laugh like it's already done. Like the yoke is destroyed. Laugh. Laugh like the curse is broken. Laugh like the doors are open. Laugh. Squeeze that hand you're holding. The anointing is in this place right now. The anointing is in this place. The healing power of the Holy Spirit is in this place. Get ready to laugh. 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 Your strength is coming back. Get ready to laugh. Get ready to laugh. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I rebuke every applause. I rebuke every affliction and every disease. Get ready to laugh out loud. Hey, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy, the ooh, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy. Squeeze that hand. The anointing is moving through this place.
Did you know that gospel music is good for the soul? It can reach way down on the inside and cause your spirit to be revived. Songs like Harvest Time by the City of Refuge Sanctuary Choir. And how about So Many Times by the electrifying Dorinda Clark Cole from her album Live from Houston? And what about I Gave It Up by the man himself, Jay Moss, from his brand new album entitled Just James? You can download these and other of your favorite gospel artists. Just visit brothersinthespirit.com and click on the link online store. Remember, Brothers in the Spirit online store, where shopping is inspirational. After a long day, why not wind down to a night of inspirations with songs of inspiration? Let the smooth vibes of contemporary gospel music ease your cares away. Tune in Sunday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and let your soul be blessed. Songs of Inspiration on BNDS Jams, where the message is in the song.
Promised I'd be there and told you I would always care.
You're listening to Midweek Praise on BNDS Jams, where it's always about Jesus.
Let me hear you say, oh. It's been a real hard couple of months, you had enough. But it's been hard for everyone, you're not alone. You've been hurting way too long, let it go and just move on. Make your way down to the altar, hand it over and leave it there. It's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be alright,
it's gonna be alright. You need relief. You're tired of the pressure. Yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over. Leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
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 So everything.
Hands together.